Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Fred Flights, a distinguished career intelligence professional who now serves as the Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs at the Center for Security Policy, I'm very pleased to say. He served quite ably as a CIA analyst for about 20 years, also worked for John Bolton in the State Department as his chief of staff and on the staff of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He is a man of many parts, and I'm anxious to explore with him a couple of topics, Fred, on which you've been writing or at least engaging in other ways. And welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Frank.
You have, particularly with your intelligence background, some insight, I'm sure, into this controversy which continues to play out. Tim Cook, the chairman, I guess he is, of Apple, having weighed in yesterday rather passionately against being compelled, having his company compelled to unlock a cell phone actually owned, it turns out, by the government of San Bernardino County, not the terrorist who perpetrated, you know, a massacre there. But Apple is resisting mightily FBI and now a federal judge's directions to help them find out what else is on there that might save lives. What are your thoughts on that, Fred?
Well, Frank, I did a story for National Review to sort of explain that Apple has changed its story on this. A few months ago, it was claiming that its new level of encryption could not be broken even by the company. Now it turns out it's not that Apple can't break the encryption. It won't break the encryption. The reason is they're claiming this sets up a bad precedent and will endanger the security of Americans. This is a phone that was used by a terrorist, was owned by San Bernardino County. The terrorist is dead. There's no privacy issues here. What the government is asking for is for Apple to disable a feature on the phone that causes all the data to be erased after too many wrong passcodes are entered. The government isn't asking for the phone to be re-engineered. We're hearing all these claims by Tim Cook that this enormous software would have to be written that would endanger the security of all Apple users. This is frankly propaganda by him to play to the fears of millennials who were tricked by Edward Snowden into believing the government is spying on them. We can't let encryption be used by terrorists and criminals and rapists to hide their communications.
There's a fair amount of that going on, though, nonetheless. And I guess what you're saying is if the software that destroys the contents of the phone's memory is disabled, then the government can just go to work trying to break the encryption. Their concern is that in the process, they might otherwise lose all of that information. Fred, when you hear the government case being made here, do you find it persuasive? Is it the case that Snowden and his charges notwithstanding, this is really a moment where not only with regard to this particular phone, but with others, that there really is a national security imperative to be able to monitor what's being done on such devices?
I think there is. And the government's not asking for a skeleton key to get into these phones. I think the government would settle for Apple opening just this one phone and not giving them software to open up any phone. But Apple wants to claim that their phones are beyond the reach even of court orders. And, I mean, this is unprecedented. There's lots of examples where, you know, if you have a locked warehouse where there's criminal evidence in it, the government can make you open it up, and there's no difference here.
I am intrigued by the machinations of the telecommunications and computer industry. It stands at such stark contrast, Fred Flights, to how AT&T, for example, back before it was broken up, used to collaborate closely with the United States government. You probably remember those days. And it seems to me it bespeaks a kind of loss of national security mindedness more generally and could bring us great grief indeed. Let me turn to another topic, Fred. You've, of course, been among the preeminent analysts and observers and commentators, notably, but not exclusively, at National Review Online, about what's going on in Iran. There's talk about a space launch, suspiciously close in timing to a space launch by its close friend and partner, North Korea. We were talking earlier in the program about North Korea's activities with Peter Brooks. But give us a flavor as to what is happening, and are we likely to see in this regard, or for that matter, any other, the Obama administration actually saying what the Iranians are up to is beyond the pale, unacceptable, and a deal breaker.
Well, news came out this week that the Obama administration is pushing tough resolution in the U.N. Security Council against North Korea. I doubt that, because China will never let such a thing pass for launching a missile, which it claims was a space launch vehicle. Well, Iran has given issued an alert to airlines that it is going to conduct a launch of a space launch vehicle that's almost identical next week. It's called a Simorgh missile. It is twice as in terms of the payload, can carry twice as heavy a payload, 200 kilograms, than the last space launch vehicle it launched. And the question I have is, will the Obama administration also press for tough Security Council sanctions against Iran for doing what North Korea did? And I think the answer is going to be no.
Fred, speaking of the administration's policies in the Middle East, let me just ask you quickly. You've got John Kerry, the Secretary of State, feverishly working on some kind of ceasefire arrangement with the Russians and assorted Syrian parties. Apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal yesterday, there's very deep skepticism on the part of the Defense Department, the Joint Chiefs of Staff specifically, as well as the civilian leadership and others, as to what is likely to come out of all of this diplomacy. The Russians evidently are claiming that the U.S. military now has to really cooperate with it in its activities in Syria. What's going on here, Fred? And do you see any greater likelihood of a satisfactory outcome in Syria than we've seen in the past 5 years?
It's terribly depressing. This cynical ceasefire will allow the Russians to continue to bomb entities that they claim are terrorists. And some of these Syrian rebel entities are so-called moderate rebels being equipped and trained by the CIA. The Syrian regime of Bashar Assad has said he's not sure he's going to fully cooperate with this. Russia's really in the driver's seat in Syria. It has filled a power vacuum caused by the president's leading from behind non-policy in the region. And I mean, what you just said is just an example that it's gotten so bad that I think the Russians are actually dictating to the United States how to conduct its policy. And President Obama's policy is fairly clear. He wants to do as little as possible with this mess and hand it to the next president.
Let me ask you, Fred, about one other issue that you've addressed in your inimitable way at National View Online. And that is a story that came out the other day to the effect that the CIA is intensifying its efforts to recruit transgender individuals in the name of diversity. Give us the perspective of a career CIA officer. What on earth is going on there? And is this likely to actually enhance the quality of intelligence, do you think, at a time when we need it more than ever?
The CIA's mission is very serious, and this administration actually has a new rule book that will require promotions, the activities of managers, and assignments, choice assignments. There have to be statistics on all of these on a wide variety of diversity criteria, including transgender, LGBT, minorities, disabled. I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with hiring someone with a PhD in international relations from Harvard who speaks Russian over someone from one of these diversity groups, because we need the best qualified people to safeguard our national security. President Obama wants to promote our intelligence officers based on social engineering to fix the ills of our society. It's a disastrous idea.
Fred, we look forward to talking with you further next week. Keep up the good work at the Center for Security Policy in the meantime, National Review, and so many other places as well. Stay well, my friend. I hope the rest of you will both stay well and come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.